listening to the Flannelly Show. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, and indeed you might be listening to us anywhere in the world as our programs are simulcast live, and then our interviews are archived at now 10:30 in the morning in the city of New York. We're delighted indeed, first of all, to welcome somebody who is who we, of course, have great use for, as we say. He is a great supporter and always has been of Ireland, even and Northern Ireland, even before he became controller of the state of New York. Let me welcome our friend Tom DiNapoli. Controller Tom DiNapoli, how are you?
I am great, Adrian. Thank you for having me back on your show and for those very generous words of introduction. And it was great seeing you at the New York New Belfast Conference. So I'm glad we have a chance to chat there and talk this morning.
The you as guest of honor and keynote speaker yesterday, you shared the room in that conference with the CEOs and the movers and shakers of 50 of the top U.S. companies in the United States, who indeed obviously were in agreement with you as the keeper of the funds of New York State, including New York State pensions and the investment in Northern Ireland. Many had indeed were inquisitive, as we are, first of all, before we get to your investment in Northern Ireland, about the state of New York, and how are we fiscally, and where do you see it going?
Well, I mean, the good news is we're in much better shape today than we were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I think that's probably true for many of the states in this country. You know, we went through a very, very tough time after the global financial crisis hit revenues coming to the state, certainly very dramatically, loss of jobs. And now we're very much on the rebound, particularly because of the strength of the economy in the five boroughs of New York City, and that's very good news. You know, our challenge as a state, though, it's great now the budget, state budget's in better shape and balance. We really have two challenges moving forward, Adrian. One is the fact with the economy, once you get out of New York City and Long Island, the rest of the state is not doing as well in terms of creating jobs. It's a very mixed picture once you get north of Westchester County. So that has an impact, obviously, on revenues, not just to the state, but to local governments. And that's really the second challenge. Our local governments, counties, towns, cities, villages, school districts, we're still seeing big budget challenges in many of those communities. So much better shape than we've been in, but we still have a ways to go.
Now, how is that going to move forward? Does it we have to assume that the that your own analysis and you should know that has that is not great news for the state that constantly seems to be on the the hind beneficiary of a very a progressive New York City. As I say, if you're north of Westchester County, a lot of people there not only have been struggling, they were struggling pretty much before the downturn of in the economy to begin with. But what can happen? What is it that, say, New York State in general, what does New York State need to give it the emphasis needed.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. You're right. Many of the communities, especially some of our older cities upstate, they were struggling before the recession hit. So, I think there are a couple things New York has been doing, and some of it's been successful, some of it needs more work. I think one of the better approaches has been, and I give credit to the governor and the legislature for creating these regional economic development councils, where instead of having a one-size-fits-all economic development strategy for the state, they divide the state into 10 regions. They get input from local business and community leadership as to how to target investment dollars. You know, we're starting to see some benefit from that. I do think we need better coordination in New York of our state and our local economic development programs. You know, we have industrial development agencies, IDAs, other kinds
right.
of mechanisms. They're not always coordinating the best way. I'm not always sure that we're getting the return on all those economic development dollars. So one of the things that we're doing in the controller's office, and you know, we're not the governor's office or the legislature, so we don't make the policy, but we review what's going on. We're actually doing a more thorough review of these various economic development programs to really start to ask the question, since we do have many regions struggling, is there a smarter way for us to be investing some of these economic development dollars? And in terms of what I do, we have been directing a significant new portion of pension fund dollars to investment within New York State. We have our in-state private equity investment program, for example, about $1.3 billion for those kinds of investments, startup companies in New York, companies who want to relocate here or expand here. So, you know, everybody's focused on it, but, you know, New York, just like your radio show is tied to a global network, well, you know, we're also tied to a global economy. So the struggles that are out there, you know, with Europe and the emerging markets, I mean, those struggles certainly are going to impact on us as well.
Right. Somehow it would be ironic to think of New York State and to talk about inward investment, but actually the inward investment in overall terms is as important in New York State and the areas that you have referred to. Inward investment is extremely important, as important as it is in Northern Ireland, to New York State as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what we certainly have in New York are many outstanding universities, colleges, graduating smart students, smart professors, developing new products and technologies. And I think one of the solutions has to be more collaboration from an economic development perspective. When you get these new ideas, new products, new technologies, how can we commercialize them in New York State and grow jobs here instead of what too often happens is the products and the technologies are developed in another part of the country, and we not only lose the new jobs, we lose the students and the young people we educate.
Right.
That becomes one of our exports. So I think, you know, the hubs around the university centers in Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, Albany, you know, as we look to the future, you know, that's really that and the medical facilities as well. A lot of excellence there, a lot of opportunities to, I think, grow our economy if we have more coordination between those sectors.
Let me ask you about a non-enviable position which you hold, the keeper of the purse, the responsibility that comes with that as controller and as the treasurer of the pension funds. Among, of course, you are responsible for the auditing of all monies having to do with the state of New York. But talk about, if you will, how the pension funds in particular, how do they get distributed, and how are decisions made with getting the best bang for the buck, regardless of the economy and everything else? There's money that carries with it the welfare of of working and those who have earned a pension fund that that need to be protected, number one, and preferably, you know, have growth.
Yeah.
How do you tackle something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate how you phrased the question, Adrian, because sometimes when we talk about the pension fund and investing, you know, we talk about the dollars and we forget there are real people and real families that are depending on the success of that fund. So I think you pose the question in the proper way. We have over 1 million members, state and local workers, either active or those who, you know, who are looking forward to retirement or those who are already retired and beneficiaries. So, you know, over 1 million New Yorkers and their families depending on the health and strength of this fund. So, you know, the first thing is I always tell my investment staff, make sure you always remember there are real people. This is not just playing numbers. There are real people that are depending on us. So we have a professional investment staff. I have a great chief investment officer. Her name is Vicki Fuller. And we work with consultants and advisors who guide us as well. We have advisory committees. And one of the advantages we have as a pension fund, Adrian, is that we, you know, we've been around for 92 years. We're going to be around forever. We have that long-term perpetual horizon. So we're very patient capital, and we've had a number of years of good returns. So even with the losses that we had a few years ago with the global financial crisis, we're still about 92% funded. We're among the best funded of all the state pension plans. So what we do is have a very diversified asset allocation. So our portfolio obviously has a heavy U.S. domestic focus, particularly in terms of stocks and public equities. But we have a lot in fixed income. You know, that's the safest area. But as we all know, you don't make money in that area, given the low rates now with regard to interest rates and so on. So what we try to do, and we can't, we have limitations legally on how much we can do, we also try to invest in alternatives, so private equity, real estate, a little bit in absolute return strategies, much of which are hedge funds. I know that sometimes has a bad connotation, but our hedge fund portfolio is small and has worked very well. We're doing some new investments in what we call real assets, farmland, looking at commodities. So that's a new area. Because what we want to do is be well diversified. So if one part of the portfolio is not performing well in a given year, hopefully another part will pick up on it. We've had solid returns this past year. Our return was about 7.2%, 7.16, rounds up to 7.2. Our long-term goal is a 7.5% return, so we were a little shy of that long-term goal, but we've had double-digit returns for the past couple of years, so our performance continues to be strong, and for 2 years now we've actually cut the cost that we charge to the government employers, and I'm hoping we'll be able to continue to control some of those costs because, you know, the employees contribute money, taxpayers contribute money as well. So I think retirement security, though, is such an important issue, and having a defined benefit pension, our public workers, our school workers, our police, our fire, our municipal workers, our state workers, they earn that, and we can't retreat on that promise, and we're very dedicated to that.
You're delivering, in addition, of course, New York State, New York City, has always had, an interest in investing in Northern Ireland. There are, of course, many who'd say, well, the economy was, and particularly going back again to the responsibility of the million people that you've referred to, depending on a good return on their investment. Investing in Northern Ireland was something you carry through. You wrote the check.
and happily so. I had the experience, I mentioned it again, at the conference very early in my tenure as controller, I had the chance to go to Northern Ireland, and it was at the invitation of, which was remarkable, at the time, of Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness, who together visited me in my office in New York City, and I said, wow, I never thought that I'd ever meet the two of them or the two of them together. And so I was part of a U.S. delegation. Bill Thompson at the time was the controller for the city, and New York City was represented there. And you really got a sense that there was this concerted effort to put the past of the troubles behind and to work together in a collaborative fashion, but a real notion that foreign investment, overseas investment was key because the capital was needed to create the opportunity so that on the ground there'd be transformation in terms of economic opportunity for all neighborhoods, for all people in the North. So, you know, I was very captivated by that notion. Now, of course, that was 2008, so shortly after that we had the global financial crisis, and mm-hmm. a lot of things slowed down and went and did not do well. But we had a commitment, and we wanted to do something in the North. And there were some other efforts that not involved with our fund that didn't work out so well. And I said to my staff, we have to be smart about this, given all the challenges in the environment. And so we created a fund, a private equity fund called Emerging Europe Fund, $100 million. And we did a carve-out to be very clear that, you know, of all the opportunities we'd look at, you know, we were going to set aside, you know, at least $30 million for Northern Ireland. Because I wanted to make clear that if we were going to do investments, we wanted to make sure they would, in fact, be targeted to the North, because I saw great opportunity. You know, one of the, you know, and then I was back last fall, as you know, and what I continued to see is this incredible creativity, innovation, vitality, educated workforce, and a real pent-up expectation of the opportunity to put all those skills and talents to work, because all those years that wasn't happening. So, you know, I've been very pleased that we work with a firm, 57 Stars. They've allocated now $15 million of those dollars to Crescent Capital. We had previously had a small investment with Crescent, and then they do what we call the due diligence. They evaluate the opportunities on the ground there in Northern Ireland. They've started to deploy that capital, particularly with the software and technology related sectors. So, you know, and I had a chance to meet with some of the entrepreneurs who we're investing with, and again, the vitality, the entrepreneurship, a youthful labor market, and so in that overall context, as you know, the peace process, you know, not without some fits and starts, but continues to hold, this blossoming of the economy in Belfast particularly, but certainly in Northern Ireland generally, we're very excited to be a part of that. And what I always like to say is, while we certainly need to make money, I'm a fiduciary and I have a responsibility to our pensioners, we also like to have our money be put to work doing good things. And I think to be part of this process of transformation in Northern Ireland for all to benefit from and to really secure that stability, for us to be a part of that, to me, has great meaning. And so I'm really looking forward to more of that capital being deployed, that other $15 million to get out the door. We've been talking with others there in the North about how we might be able to invest that money. And then I'm hoping we can even put some more money there, Adrian, because
I think it's
just a great, great marketplace for investment. And as I said at the conference, we talk a lot about Belfast, but I love Derry also. I got to visit Derry the first time I was there, and I just think the whole North has such wonderful possibilities, and we want to keep that positive feeling because, you know, it's still a tough economy there, and you know, you meet with some of the people in the neighborhoods, and many of them are still struggling. So we want them to benefit from this great opportunity that we see there.
If we go back to yesterday, you as guest of honor and keynote speaker to there were many more than 50, but the 50 top companies investing in Northern Ireland. Do you get the feeling that, you know, they look at New York State, they look at you as controller, and, you know, it's kind of with 50 of those yesterday and one of you, they need... It had to cross their minds that if Tom DiNapoli, the controller of the state of New York, is indeed setting aside and writing checks, you know, to invest in Northern Ireland, well, that can't be bad for them either. There's you and there were the 50 others plus investors in Northern Ireland. Did you get the feeling that some of them say this fellow better be right?
Well, I hope so, because, you know, we have a very serious process of evaluation before we do an investment, and our investment partners as well. You know, so if we have confidence, if we're bullish on the economy there and the opportunities there. And Adrian, I didn't check the list of all 50, but you know, a quick look, I think some of those companies we also hold investments in as well. So, you know, I think that was certainly a positive reinforcement. But what I also tried to touch on in my remarks, is really not to lose the context of this opportunity for not only making money, which is the bottom line we're concerned about, but to be part of really an historic process. And that's why I always mention, the beloved Inez McCormick, because she was such a big influence on me in terms of understanding the power of investment and the power of putting money to work in a way that can transform communities. And that, her message to me always was, we want you to make money. We want the pensioners in New York to benefit from this, but see if there are ways that it could result in greater economic justice for Protestants, for Catholics, for all neighborhoods, and for all parts of Northern Ireland. You know, again, appropriately so, great emphasis on Belfast because it is such an important hub, but Derry and some of the communities in between, let's not forget them as well. So, part of what I also try to convey to the people who are deploying our capital and to those other companies who I had the chance to, their leadership to address yesterday, is that the whole of the North is an exciting landscape for us to look to opportunities to invest and to be part of keeping the peace process going, keeping the stability, keeping the harmony. And Adrian, as we're living in a crazy world right now, and great divisions and great conflict. If the North can stay peaceful and have a new era of prosperity, that will be the model for how we can have some hope. We can resolve some of these other conflicts. And for all of us as investors, for all of us as citizens of the world, we need peace and harmony in the world. If any of us are going to survive, if our economies are going to thrive, so I really look to the context of what's happening in the North as really a beacon of hope, and we all need to be engaged in supporting that beacon of hope. And that's why the event yesterday and the opportunity to reinforce what a great time this is. Marcino Mulier, the former Lord Mayor, and the other leaders that were part of the delegation. I mean, the fact that they are so proactive in reaching out, across the Atlantic, and to involve New York and U.S. companies in what's going on there, I think it's just such an important initiative and such an important endeavor that we all need to continue to be involved in and supportive of. And we're making money for the pension fund with it, too, so we're meeting what our bottom line expectation is. So to me, this is all very exciting and incredibly important.
As you know, I suppose many countries and many groups and ethnic groups in particular throughout the world might say, well, all of this is great now, but what have you done for us lately? I think Ireland and in general, but Northern Ireland in particular, and you have described adequately the buzz, for lack of a better definition. The buzz and the tremendous energy of Northern Ireland coming out of a past that we're all familiar with. They want this to go on. They're not looking, indeed, as we saw from the companies they're represented in the New York New Belfast conference yesterday. They're looking for a continuation. They're looking for investment. They're looking for checks. And to that end, you have definitely you've come through. And the fact that you are looking for a return and a healthy one for those in New York State dependent upon your decisions, it was. Heartwarming to know that you yesterday said there's more where that came from, And knowing Martino Müller, you know, it wouldn't be beyond him to sit you down and say, well, let's have the next check.
You got to love Martino. Everybody needs a motivated leader. And I mean, look, he's the best cheerleader for Belfast and for the North that I could think of. I mean, he's so dedicated, and he's just, his energy and his commitment, to the greater good, and Adrian, you'd agree, he has such a unique ability to build relationships. I mean, this guy just he's got the charm he's got the lucky charm there, the Irish. He's really quite an incredible resource and ambassador and advocate for Ireland. And it's been a very special friendship with me, and I really admire him tremendously.
And he takes networking to a higher level. That bar keeps rising.
Oh boy, he would outdo any New Yorker any time on the networking scale. You're absolutely right.
Controller of the State of New York, Tom DiNapoli, who we're also delighted to know as a friend. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Adrian, it's been a pleasure. I wish you well, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Friends are listening to Irish Radio Network USA. This is the Flannelly Show. And...